Hey y'all, welcome back to the Empowering the Future of Agriculture podcast with me, Carson Osteen. Today, I am joined by Samantha Sellers. Samantha, if you would like to introduce yourself, go ahead.
Hi y'all, my name is Samantha Sellers. I'm from the Klinga FFA chapter over here in California. I'm a current FFA senior, and I'm so excited to be on this podcast.
Awesome. So every single episode, I start off with the same question with everybody that is on it. How has your FFA journey been over the years?
So I have been in the FFA for 4 years. This is my last year as a senior. And I think one of the biggest parts of my FFA story is I did not want to be in the FFA. I wanted nothing to do with ag my freshman year. I was forced into it by my mom. I'm a third generation FFA member, so she was really pushy on, you have to take it your freshman year. If you don't like it, you can switch out halfway through the year, this year, and all that. And so I said, okay. I had every intent of switching out after the first semester ended. I told my ag teacher, don't waste your time on me. I'm leaving. I did apologize. I will say that. But I ended up falling in love with ag, falling in love with FFA. I'm even now going to study ag in college. So really exciting for that. But I've been really involved in my chapter. I've served as reporter, president, and I'm now secretary. I have multiple active SAEs, and I've gotten to almost all the conferences you can think of. So that's kind of what my FFA journey has been so far.
So I know you were mentioning that you have done it a lot in FFA. Would you want to maybe name a few of your favorite things that you've done?
Ooh, I love WLC. So I went last summer, so the summer right before my senior year, and I loved it. I went by myself, so traveling was all like by myself. I actually got stuck in the airport because of a tornado, which is super fun. Definitely recommend that. But I loved meeting people from different states. When you go to WLC, you have a hotel room with 2 to 3 other people. And I had a roommate from Montana and Wisconsin. And it was really cool just kind of seeing how every FFA association is kind of different. And I really, really liked that. I got to see some of the biggest monuments in DC, a lot of the museums, which is really cool. I did have other friends that were going, and so getting to hang out with them was really fun. We even got lost in DC at one point, which totally recommend that too. You know, when you don't plan things, you get to have fun because you just randomly find things, I do say. I also am very involved in LDEs. So I've done exempt and prepared. I haven't decided which one I'm doing this season, but I love both, so.
Yeah, you mentioned WLC. That is something that I've heard so many great things about from so many people. Like, everybody that goes, they always have something good to say about it. And I said this a few days ago to somebody, but I'm like, I'm counting down the days because I'm going this upcoming summer. And that'll always be something that I'm going to look forward to, and I'm so excited to see what that week has. So I know you were mentioning earlier that you have an SAE or multiple. Would you want to share a little bit about what your SAE is and what it involves?
So I have 5, if I'm counting. That might not be counting correctly, actually, but I digress. So I do poultry production. So I've had market chickens for 2 years. I raised them for the local county fair. So I did that last year and this year. And then I have a flock of laying hens and a few roosters, which I've done for almost 3 years now. So that started my sophomore year and has continued till now, which kind of just involves collecting eggs, hatching chickens. It's great. I love them. I also have a almost 4-year-old research SAE. I work with this, I forgot what, it's called Wings of Knowledge. They're a community group, and they basically take at-risk kids, and we teach them how to code, and then we teach them how to use that code within agriculture. So right now, we're monitoring kill hours and pistachios. So I've done that for 4 years. It's really cool. I absolutely love working with them. The leader of that, his name's Vahee. He's so cool. He's actually helped me a lot with my poultry production too, because he really likes the chickens. So, you know, if I can't get out there, he's always willing to go look at them. He brings them treats At one point, he was feeding them bread, which is really not good for chickens. So I did have to, put a little stop to that. But he loves like hanging out with them. It's really cool. And then I have ad communication. So I run three platforms for ad communications. I have My FFA Experience, which is a team of us. I got led on last July, so July of 23. And I've been running that successfully till now. And then I have my own platform, which is Agriculture Around the World, which focuses on like ag and trade and ag education. And so I've been running that since March of 2024. And then I have One Farmer at a Time, which is a huge group of us that kind of came together and we're advocating about mental health within agriculture. We have kids from almost all the states, which is super cool. The group chat is massive, but I really love that project. I love all my SAEs, but those have been like the ones I've been active in.
So I know two that jumped out to me were, of course, the poultry production and the agricultural communications. Like I got a wild hare in August and went and bought 16 chickens and so many more animals followed. And it's just so fun to be able to raise those animals and, ultimately make something from them because they lay so many eggs. It's crazy. So I know you were naming off a few of the accounts that you either own or are part of. So I wanted to start off by asking about your own. So would you want to share a little bit about your agricultural advocacy account titled Ag Around the World?
Yeah, so Ag Around the World originally was FFA Around the World. So that started March of last year, right before state conference, actually. So the reason I'd started that was because honestly, I had kind of gotten a little bored with what I was doing. I had nothing kind of exciting going on. So I'd seen a lot of like other ag Instagrams. Obviously, I had worked with My FFA Experience, but we were kind of in a downtime. So I wanted something to occupy my time that related to agriculture and my passion for social media. So I started FFA Around the World. Eventually, after some thinking, I did change it to Ag Around the World because a lot of my content ended up becoming more ag related. And I felt that Agriculture Around the World kind of was a better name. But I've done a lot of things within that project. I have. Obviously, I've amassed a good little following and I post a lot of things, mostly about my main thing is discovering ag industries. That started about June and it started after I went to a Discovering Ag conference at Fresno State. It was a 10-day stay and we basically got to discover so many different ag industries. We got to drive tractors, mess with soil, work with the USDA. It was really cool and I really liked that. And so I kind of took that, I ran with it, and I created that series, which is, has actually been really good. I've partnered with other FFA members to like highlight their SAEs within this industry, or I've done recipes, which have been really fun. I've also gone into classrooms. I've taught about poultry, actually. I love to combine my SAEs. So if you look at my platform, I have a lot of chicken stuff because that's what I do. And I was like, I might as well, show what I do as well as talk about ag. So I went into TK classrooms. I took my chickens. The kids loved it. It was great. And then within this platform, I also was a lucky recipient of a 2024 SAE grant from Farm Credit, which I'm so excited to use this year. It was really a big thing because I'm one of, I think, the only FFA, like CLEANG FFA member who has gotten an SAE grant. And I was one of three California FFA members this year.
Yeah, naming off all the stuff that you do with that account, it is so exciting. That account is one of my favorites to, look at and just see what you're up to and what you're advocating for. So I know you like we had just talked about your account that you personally run. Would you want to share a little bit about the My FFA Experience account? That account is like it's so cool, honestly. Like I see that account probably, I mean, once a week or so, I see a post from that account. And so, would you want to share a little bit about your part into that?
So my FFA experience, I got led on by Jason Holland, who is the rightful owner. He created it as his ad communication at SAE about 3 or 4 years ago. I actually applied on a whim. Someone happened to have reposted the apply for a team member. And again, I had just got elected as president and I was loving what I had done as reporter. So I was like, might as well. What's gonna hurt? And so I sent in my application, I sent in my interview video, and I got it. And I was absolutely so excited. It was a team about 8 or 9 of us, all from different states. There was another California girl. We had kids from Missouri, South Dakota, I think, and I think we had someone from Iowa. I could be completely wrong about states, but it was really cool. And so it was really cool being on a team of just a ton of ag advocates. And so we started posting. My big thing last year was called Tip Tuesdays. So I ran a Google form and we did basically tips within the FFA, tips for state conference, tips for SAEs, stuff like that. I think it has changed a little bit because now we're doing a lot more memes, which I love. Right now, there's three of us. It's me, Kayla Macedo, and Braxton Watts. And we work together and we make a lot of the posts I post, but they do a lot too. And so it's really cool because you have on that account, especially, I have a lot of reach. So I love, posting memes, posting stuff like that. It's really cool to see how it's grown because last year when we started, I think we were about 1.7, and now we're almost at 3,000. And we have one of the most viewed ag videos with an AET meme basically that I made last year, my disgusting dirty MacBook. It's really funny. But I really have loved working with my FFA experience. I'm kind of taking over now because Jason is now at college and he's not really an FFA much anymore. So it's kind of we kind of run it as our three, and it's really cool to see how it's changed, and I really do enjoy running that account.
Yeah, a few days ago, I was looking at the one of the most recent posts, and like I said, it's just so cool to see what y'all are doing over there, and I'm really excited to continue to see that grow. So, earlier you mentioned that you are a California FFA member. Would you want to share a little bit about what it's like being in California FFA?
So California FFA is really, I say unique. We're really different. So not different in the sense, but still, like we wear nude nylons. So when I went to WLC and they required black nylons, I was like, this is weird. But that's just us. We do have a few, I think we do have a few competitions that are California exclusive, like Impromptu, I don't think is a national one. But I love California FFA. My mom was a part of California FFA. She actually ran for state office. So it's really cool to like also be a part of the same like chapter and association she was. I don't really know like how to California FFA is definitely a family. Like I have friends from North Coast all the way to South Coast. I think that's one thing we do really good in California is everybody kind of knows each other. Like I know people from the smallest region, the biggest region, smallest chapter, biggest chapter kind of thing. And I really like that about our association.
Yeah, I mean, California is like such a huge state too. I mean, do you know what y'all's membership number is like by like off the top of your head by chance?
We're oh, what is our? I know we have a lot.
It's I
I
mean,
want to say 100,000, but why? I think it's something like that. It's a big number.
oh wow, that is a lot of members that are, spread out. So, I mean, that's just so exciting because Tennessee has 33,400 and I think 65. We're a smaller state compared to some like Texas and y'all. But it's so exciting to see all the stuff that y'all do that maybe some other states don't that are like, geographically specific to y'all's regions. Do you have like any like I guess you could say crazy competitions? Like maybe I know this one may not be particular for California, but like think Maine has like apple judging or something. Do y'all have like anything like that over there?
I don't think so. Not, I've really only been involved in LDEs. I haven't gotten my foot in the CDEs yet. I don't think there's anything like crazy that we have that other states don't have. The only competition I know that we have that not all states have is Impromptu, which is a sophomore speaking competition. I don't think there's any like that aren't that are California exclusive, though.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so I know earlier you were mentioning like that you had attended WLC. Would you want to share just a little bit about your, I guess you could say, like one favorite memory that you had from that week of being there?
Ooh, so there's a lot that sticks out, but I think honestly, my favorite day was the when we went to the Capitol. So WLC day two or three, everyone gets to go to the Capitol. You take that infamous, famous photo of all these FFA members in their blue jackets on the Capitol steps. I love that day. So I worked for a congressman my freshman and sophomore year of high school. So I reached out to him and I was like, hey, it's me and my two friends from Reedley. Can we get a tour or can we meet with you? Like, it'd be really cool if we could. I get if we can't. And when I tell you that dude took that and ran with it, he was so excited to meet with us. He actually ended up, see, if you had a California FFA jacket on that day, you were invited to the tour. He just started scooping them up. He's like, oh, you have a jacket? Come with me. Oh, you have one too? You're going too. And so it was really cool. It ended up being a group about 12 or 13 of us that got a like exclusive tour of the Capitol. So we went under the Capitol. We went to the Ag Committee office. It was really cool because a lot of the kids did get to go on Capitol tours, but you only get to walk around the available parts of the US Capitol. We got to see everything. We got to see offices, other congressmen, the little trolley they have to take them from meeting room to meeting room. It was really cool. Got to talk to him about the farm bill, about Prop 12 in California. And it was really a nice experience to do that, and especially as a big group of mostly seniors in high school. It was really cool to like talk about ag policy and all that.
That sounds like it was so fun for y'all to go on and be a part of. So, moving on to the next question, I know you've named a few LDEs that you've competed in. Would you want to say like maybe what your favorite one is?
Ooh, that's hard. So I've done prepared for 2 years, possibly three. So obviously I want to say that that's been my favorite because I've done it so much and I've loved what I have written about. But exempt, I love exempt. It's a lot different from prepared because you don't have to memorize anything, which I really like, and I like just being able to talk off a whim. I competed at one of the biggest youth ag expos in Tulare this summer, and I loved it. It was one of my favorite competitions. That's why it's so hard to decide if I'm doing prepared or exempt this year. So I definitely would pick exempt as one as my favorite LDE.
That's a pretty good choice right there. I've been doing it. This is going to be my second year doing that competition. And like the topics are some topics that you may honestly would never have researched or never have done a speech on if you didn't, have to do it for that competition. And it widens your, like, I guess your knowledge so much. And it's so exciting to be a part of and compete in. So moving on. So what is something that you're looking forward to most with the rest of this year in FFA?
So definitely applying for proficiencies and going to my last, possibly last state conference. I keep saying last state conference, but there are like some things in the cards. Who knows? Like I could run for state office next year. We don't know. But I'm definitely looking forward to that because state conference, I've gone to it for 4 years and it's like changed every year is different because almost every year has been a different group of people. It's really cool. I get to bond with like my officer team and my friends at state, and I see a lot of my friends that I wouldn't get to see otherwise, just because of where we live and all that. So I'm really looking forward to state conference and hopefully getting a state proficiency. I am applying for a couple this year, and so I'm really crossing my fingers and hoping that I am able to pull at least one. That'd be really cool.
All right, so I always try to end or like put this question towards the end of the podcast because I always want like there's like studies out there or something that show that somebody's going to remember the most recent thing they've heard more than, something they heard like 20-ish minutes ago or so. So I always end a podcast episode with this question. So what is one piece of advice that you would give to a student or an FFA member that is hesitant to like get involved in FFA?
So one thing I always would say is give it a set amount of time. I always say give it 6 months because that's about what I gave it my freshman year, is I gave it 6 months. And if it hadn't caught my attention, I was basically kind of not going to stay. But I'm like, give it 6 months, give it some time. You're not going to fall in love with something just like that. Again, I kind of did, but I've seen some people where it takes a little bit. It takes them participating at LDE to fall in love with FFA. It takes them being a CDE team to fall in love with FFA. Give it some time, because the when you give it time, you're going to get to see things that if you hadn't, you wouldn't have gotten to see. So like we do a thing called World Ag Expo. You get to go junior and senior year. And so I think I definitely was so excited to stay in FFA my till my junior year so I could go to World Ag Expo or go to state conference. We take sophomores to seniors. So I'm like, just wait till you can go. Wait till you can try it out. I give it some time is like my biggest piece of advice if you're hesitant to join the FFA. Like give it some time, especially if you're a freshman or sophomore. You're never gonna regret doing it. You'll always regret not doing it or not doing it soon enough.
Thank you so much for that piece of advice. I know so many people are going to enjoy hearing that, and it'll be something that hopefully is going to help somebody decide if they want to stick with the organization that will possibly change their whole trajectory in their career, or so many more things. So, thank you again for being on the podcast today. Do you have like any closing remarks that you'd like to give before we end the episode?
Just if you are listening to this, have fun FFA, do everything. Big piece of advice. If you want, I have seen a lot of ag communication SAE start up the last few like months. Do that if that's what you're passionate about. Start an SAE you love. Do everything within the FFA that you can.
Of course. So, thank you again for being on the podcast today. I have greatly enjoyed hearing your story and be able to share it with so many people across the country. So, thank you guys for listening to this podcast today. I will see y'all back next week.